Well, if you will, turn in your Bibles tonight, 2 Peter 3. We've been talking about faith and trust and when he returns. And so we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and all the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much tonight for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts through testimonies, through songs, and now through your word. And Lord, just teach us what you'd have for us, and we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, those who know the Bible, that the end of time should be no surprise. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that many shall come to me in the last day saying, Lord, hadn't we done this and that, and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And then he tells us that there'll be many that will come, and in Matthew, I think it's 24, that will be claiming they're the Messiah and the Christ, and shall deceive many people. Well, I look around today, and I see many people that are being deceived, and that bothers me, but I know that it's just the prophecy of God coming true. And I wonder many times, what can I do, Lord, to change this? How are we going to change this around? You see so many different things being taught today in that's not biblically sound. And many lives are being deceived. And the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, tell us what will be the sign of the coming of the end of the world. And he said, wars and rumors of wars and nations fighting against nations. We see that in our day. Famines in the land. We see that in many places, not here. But we see earthquakes that are coming and things like that, and persecution of the people of God. I believe we see the persecution of the people of God more now, even in the United States, than we have in the past. Amen. It's coming. An indifference towards the spiritual things of God today. And the very first thing that he mentioned was false messiahs. And now some will argue, well, that hadn't changed, that we've always had that kind of stuff going on. Nothing is changing at all. We see people being born, we see people dying, we see the sun rises and the sun sets, and things just keep going on and on and on as usual. But I tell you, Peter here, response is God intervened. God intervened one time and destroyed the earth by the flood in Noah's day, and God will do it again. God will do what his word says he will do. When God speaks, somebody said a while ago, it was Brother Jim, said, God is faithful. He keeps his promises. He keeps his promises to the Christian people. Yes, he does. If you give, God will bless. He'll bless your life. And if you live faithful, he will bless your life. He's always that. And then second, we know that God doesn't measure time like we measure time. He has delayed so many times so that people can repent and people can get right with God. But the day of the Lord, he says here, will come as a thief in the night. And you know how a thief in the night comes. He doesn't come and ring your doorbell, does he? No, he comes and he sneaks in and he sneaks out, and you hardly ever know he's there, except maybe something's missing. And one day the heavens and the earth will pass away, the Bible says, with a great noise, and the elements of the earth will melt with a fervent heat, and everything shall be burned up. Now, what I want you to see tonight is this last verse here we saw in 14. When he returns, what are we going to be doing as a church? And you can say, what are we going to be doing in 2015? Following Christ, like Teddy's song said. What effect will the Christian people have on the world? What effect are we going to have on our city, or on our neighborhood, or on our neighbors? You see, knowing this, that at any moment Christ can come, knowing that Christ should come or could come at any moment should motivate us to repentance in our life. It should motivate us to being faithful and following God all the way in every way that He tells us to do. It should motivate us to godly living. Now, I want to live for God this year. I want to live for God every day. I find it hard, don't you? So many things are pressing in on us. So many things are happening around us. Sometimes we find ourselves, we start out on a ball of fire, going to all people make resolutions. I quit making them. I broke them the next day, so that's like, well, there's no use making them. But you know, I resolve in my heart to follow God daily. Now, he says, one, we should live expectingly. Of all the people, the believer should live with the most hope on earth. We're living in a day when there's great despair in our world. 2 out of 3 marriages fail. They end in divorce. We heard not long back a small boy in school went in with a gun and shot his classmates. And man, how bad can things get when we have children killing children? But the Bible tells us these things are going to be. Our families are splitting up, and problems in our families. We have many, it may be getting better, some say, but there's still multitudes of abortions, or killing of babies, and suicide amongst our adults and teens now have reached epidemic proportions in our country and around the world. People have lost hope. They've lost hope. And if you look at the news, we see that the world offers really no hope, does it? No hope whatsoever. In the coming weeks, I've got 2 movies I want to show you on Sunday night. I'm going to advertise it and I start telling you about it. I want the people to come. It's Billy Graham movies. One is Hope on the Cross, and one is on heaven. And I want to show them in our church. And I watched them the other day. I watched one of them. They're about 30 minutes long or something like that. They're great clips of Billy Graham's messages, and I want you to listen to those. And if anything, we need hope. And even our people are wondering, is there any hope for the world? And I believe there is. I believe there's hope. I believe in the return of Jesus Christ, we see the hope. Listen to what Peter says. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, do you understand that? We look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 13, John describes in Revelation chapter 21 the new heaven and the new earth. If you haven't read it, you can turn over and read it after the service. Don't read it now, but listen. He says there will be no more tears in heaven, Praise God. I stood at a funeral the other day and preached salvation to the family because that's what they wanted. They wanted to know the way to go to heaven. And folks, people want to know there is hope after death. There is life after death. And he says there's a new heaven where there's not going to be any more tears. And that's a new kind of place, isn't it? Down here we see crying, we see heartaches, we see problems all day long. We see death. The Bible says in the new heaven there's no more death. That'll be a new kind of place, won't it? Every day we hear of people dying. And then it says no more pain in the Bible. Oh, how many of you got a little pain right now? All right. There's a lot of hands up. I could raise both of mine. I told Rhonda, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with my back. You know, you go to bed at night, it hurts. You wake up in the morning, it hurts. It's just pain. And I'm thinking, man, there's no more pain in heaven. I'm going to have a new backbone, I guess. Too many falling out of trees when we're young. I advise kids, don't climb trees and drop out. Man, that just compresses those vertebrae in your back. Stay off of trampolines. Man, those things are dangerous. But you know what? No more pain. And this kind of world will not come by human effort. No matter how we try, we're not going to be able to stop people from dying. It's part of life. There's only one way, and it's a divine intervention. And the Bible says we are to look with hope to that new heaven and new earth where only God's righteousness dwells. But we are to live expectantly there. Not only that, he says, live holy. Therefore, beloved, looking towards these things, be diligent to be found in peace without spot and blameless. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that such things, be diligent that we may be found without spot and blameless. Friends, Jesus Christ said we are to be the salt of the earth. As church members, as Christians, what are we supposed to be? Salt of the earth. Now, I know salt does what? Purifies. I know salt irritates. Somebody tells me I irritate them every time I preach. You know, that's all right. You know, that's what salt does. And some of you irritate me. We just work that way, don't we? But purify. It purifies. In the world of decay, we need to be salty, the Bible says. Not only that, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. In a world of darkness, and it's all around us, be light. Be light. You know, I was going to the hospital one day, and man, don't get ready to go somewhere and put on a new shirt and drive and drink coffee. That is a mistake. I remember Rhonda said, you want to take a cup of coffee with you? And I said, yeah, I'll take a cup of coffee with me. Man, I didn't have my coffee that morning. Good, got that coffee and got in the car. I was driving out and first bump. Oh, man, all over. Not only was it hot, you know what? It left a stain. Had to go back and change shirts. It just killed time, you know. But it was an embarrassing to go to the hospital with a big old coffee stain on the front of the shirt. I didn't have nothing else to do but to go back home. But you know what? I have an appointment one day to stand before my Lord and Savior. And he says, when I see him face to face, I want to be without spot or stain. Now, it's not going to be a coffee stain. It's going to be the way we live, the way we've trusted him, the way we walk by faith. You see what we talked about? How are we living our Christian life today? We are to live holy. We are to live expectingly. You know, I feel like if our people really expected Christ to come tonight or in the morning, they would have been here tonight, or we'd have had more people all around the world in our churches. If we were to live holy, we would praise God all the time in our life and walk as if he were going to come tonight. And then he says, live faithfully. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." That's how Christians should live. So many of us today are faithful, but you know what? We get tired. We start out running the Christian race. We start out running well, and somewhere down the road, we say we burn out. We get tired. You know, Bible study, boy, we start out, we're going to read the Bible through. I can tell you this, it's tough reading through Leviticus. It's tough reading through Numbers. And we think we're going to make all those big old words, and first thing you know, we get kind of tired, and we skip that day and skip the next day, and first thing you know, we haven't read our Bible like we should. We get tired of that. We come to Sunday school. We start out on fire for the Lord after we get saved. We join a Sunday school class, hopefully. We get in that Bible study. But after a little while, we get tired and we burn out there and we quit. There's no telling how many times we've had visitation and people start out in a ball of fire. About 6 weeks, they drop out. The old devil's worked on them. You know, some are faithful when they're young. We go to church when we're young. How many of you started out when you were really young going to church, and then you got sort of out of it and dropped out, and now you've come back? A lot of us have, haven't we? I hear people all the time say, "You know, preacher, I used to do this, and I used to do that. I used to teach the younger people. Now I feel like I'm just too old." But that's not what the Bible says, does it? You know what Jesus says? Be thou faithful. What? Not till you get 50 or 60 and drop out. Until death. You be faithful unto death. There's been many a person that I've known over the years that have come through this church that were in their 80s, that were in their 90s, they were still faithful. Now, we complain. I complain about pains all the time. And then I think of some of the elderly people that I see that come to church, and I know they don't feel good. I know that they're sick. I know that they can barely walk and get around. Many of y'all don't know little Doris Moore. Some of y'all knew Doris Moore. She had one bad leg. It was just bone against bone. That's before they put transplants in. But I knew she was faithful. And every Sunday morning, she'd walk up that hall just limping. But she came in and she served God. She served God until she died. She never missed. I think of an old man named A.J. Carroll. Some of y'all know A.J., but he got saved in his older years. Every year, he would say, "Sister Rhonda, would you give me an outline of that, read the Bible through, because I'm going to read it through again this year." He couldn't do a whole lot, but he read that Bible through, and he was here on every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening. He was faithful unto death. I think about Brother Curtis Barfield, sitting back on the back, where Brother Dan sits now. He was faithful unto death. I talked about him at a funeral the other day. He was in church unless he was in the hospital. You couldn't stop him from coming to church. It didn't matter if it rained, sleet, or snow. He'd find a way to get here. And man, sometimes it makes me ashamed to think that he could do that, and yet we seem to drop out at the least little bit of cold or whatever. But our desire as Christians, knowing that our Lord and Savior has got a promise awaiting for us with a new heaven, and one day we'll dwell there with Him, our desire ought to be to run and finish the race well. Finish the course well. Run that race with looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So many start out well and end up in disgrace. You know why? They lose sight of Jesus. They lose their focus on Jesus. How can we live expectantly? How can we live holy? How can we live faithfully? Well, there's only one way. Grow in grace. Verse 18, look at what it says. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything God does with living involves growth. Have you ever noticed that? If you stop growing, you die. If plants stop growing, they die. At conversion, we are born again. The Bible tells us we are born again. You know, when we're saved, some people think, oh, well, I got it now. I have been saved. Whew, I can sit down and relax. But you know what? Being saved is what? It is the beginning of life. It is the very beginning of being a child of God. And as a child of God, he says, we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't ever stop learning about God. You don't ever stop growing about God. It says, first, grow in grace. Now, people, when you accept Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. You don't sprout wings immediately and become an angel. No, that's not it. You've got to grow. It's a process. Man, I know a lot of Christians, they hadn't made it to the, they ain't made it close to being an angel yet. You know? But it's a constant relating our lives to Jesus Christ, being more like Jesus every day. The more we relate to him, the more we put on the fruits of the Spirit, the more we grow in his Spirit, the more we become like him. Man, second is knowledge. Grow in grace and knowledge. How do you get the knowledge that we need to grow in grace? Well, you don't get it by coming once on Sunday morning. Folks, that disturbs me more than anything else in the world, is people who think they're going to grow into a strong Christian by going to church one time on Sunday morning. It's not going to happen. That's what bothers me about our churches that are dropping Wednesday night, that are dropping Sunday night. They meet one time on Sunday morning and they think, oh, we've got it. They haven't got it at all. They don't understand it. That the Bible says you've got to grow and you've got to have knowledge, and you don't get it by listening to a preacher preach one time on a Sunday morning. It says, Brother Teddy said it a while ago, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Man, every time the brethren meet, we ought to be there so that we can learn from each other and grow. Meditate, it says, on the Word of God. Search the Scripture to find the truth. Our people today don't know the truth. They don't know the truth at all. I've had people come to me and say, preacher, you know, you're too hard on us. The word is hard. Jesus was hard when he says, don't do this. It ruins your life. Yeah, I've had people tell me, well, preacher, I know you don't believe in drinking, you don't believe in smoking, you don't, you know, do things like that. It ruins your testimony. Not only that, it kills your health. You know, I overeat, I know that. And it's hurting, it hurts. Man, don't drink. Oh, but just a little bit of wine don't hurt nothing. Man, Jesus says it ruins your life. Why not drink something else that doesn't bother you? Why? I told someone not long back, they told me that drinking didn't hurt. I said, wait till your daughter is killed in a car wreck by being drunk, and then you tell me that. It does hurt. It kills the families. It takes foods off the table. Now, some people don't like that. Some people have gotten mad at me and left the church because of that. And that's all right. Because they don't have a problem with me. They got a problem with God. They've got a problem with the Word. You see, the Bible says, read. Jesus says, read the Bible, study the Word, meditate on it, search the truths and the riches. And pray, pray, pray that you don't enter into the temptations. Man, witness and worship. All of these things will help you grow spiritually. Spiritually. And when God plants the seed of the Word in your heart and in your life, guess what? He expects it to grow. When God saves you, He expects you to grow in the truth. He expects you to produce fruit. And you know, we don't have any fruit-bearing Christians hardly anymore. Very seldom. You look at our association, nothing wrong with our association. I guess our association is about as good as any. But you look at the churches, and I'm talking about Southern Baptist churches. I can preach on Southern Baptist because I is one. We've got a bunch of them that have never won a soul to Christ. Every year they've got a big old zero. How many people have been won to Christ? None. Why do you exist then? What in the world are you doing then? When God gives us the Word, He expects us to produce. Live expectantly. And folks, I really believe if we lived expectantly, thinking that God was going to come back at any moment, that we would live holy. We would live faithfully. And we would grow in our Christian life. And when the Lord went to heaven, He said, I will come again. When He comes again, what is He going to find you doing in your life? As a thief in the night, He will appear, and gloriously and victoriously come. Will we be ready? We'll be ready. I don't know about you, but I want to be found faithful when He comes. And you know, we've got a long way to go, don't we? I've got a long way to go. I know sometimes I'm pretty judgmental, and so I've got to work on that. Sometimes I do things that are not pleasing to God, and I've got to work on that. I'm going to work on it in 2015. I'm going to strive to live holy. I'm going to strive to live expectantly. I'm going to strive to be more faithful to the Word of God. Because I expect Him to come at any moment. What about you? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Will you be ready? Since therefore all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight, Lord, that we'll conduct ourselves as Christians. Lord, that we'll grow this next year, that we'll expect at any moment that You might come. Lord, we'll witness for You, that we'll get excited about the Word of God. We'll come to Bible study, that we'll see our doors open and people will come wanting to grow. God, give us that kind of vision. We'll give You the praise for it. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.